It's the world famous Phil Henry Show every night here until 10 o'clock on the Pacific Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And I've been told by a few people, Margaret Gray, you were mentioning that I should stop yelling at the beginning of the show. Is that it?
Well, Phil, I don't want to tell you how to do it, but Frank was saying that you come on just la 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 and you...
Yeah, and Dangler said too.
Yeah, okay, bud. Thanks.
Well...
Anyway, welcome to our program. There probably is no reason for me to be yelling. I'm not yelling in anger, but I'm just yelling. All right, we do have Bobby Dooley coming up here in this segment. Ms. Dooley, of course, the Western States Homeowners Association. She had a very successful appearance this morning on Jay Moore Sports. That's Jay Moore Sports, and that's Jay Moore Sports Show, called Jay Moore Sports. Jay is one of the funniest men in the history of life on this planet, as you probably well know. And Bobby is featured on Tuesdays, and my understanding was you were a little bit late. And let's put Bobby on hold for a minute, if you wouldn't mind, Bud, because I just want to tell the audience something.
Bill, it's good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you. Put her on hold, will you, Bud? Because I can tell the audience something.
What?
You don't need to know what I'm telling them.
Why do you need to know, Bud? He says he's going to tell the audience something.
Yeah, I want to know.
You don't have to know. Here we go again, man.
Yep, I told you, man. You have to just shut up, man. I didn't say anything.
Don't ever ask me what. If I tell you to do something, you do it. Never mind. Put her on.
No, Phil, what were you going to say?
No, it's completely, you know, I'll mention it later on. That doesn't even have anything to do with anything. Hi, Bobby, how are you?
Well, what did you want to say, Phil?
Never mind, okay? It's fine. It's fine. It really is. Bobby Dooley with us, Steve Dooley. And what?
Well, I'm really curious now.
Yeah, no.
I have to be honest with you, Phil, so am I.
No, I won't do it. No, it has nothing to do with anything. It was me talking. I was talking to CJ about a book I was reading about veterans' benefits. It's got nothing to do with what we're talking about now, okay? We'll talk about it when we talk about it. All right, put her on hold. I was reading a... God.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Phil, but following up is very important.
I was reading a book called The Narrative of a Revolutionary Soldier by Joseph Plum Martin, and in the book, at the very end of the book, what do you think he says? He talks about all the things that the veterans of the Revolutionary War did not get. So we're talking about veterans, we're talking about veterans' benefits. It's a problem that we've had since the very beginning of our country, because even Joseph Plum Martin, in his book, Narrative of a Revolutionary Soldier, he ends the book with an entire chapter on what the soldiers were promised and what they didn't get, and what they are owed by their government. That's all. I was going to make a big deal out of it, and, you know.
All right, Ms. Dooley, you're back on.
Whoa, 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 hold on. I'll do it, okay? Ms. Dooley, you're back on.
Thank you, Bud. I'm sorry, this is Phil.
Yeah, it's Phil.
I apologize, Phil. I was just listening to Steve. What happened?
Well, you did have the 1224 pack.
Steve goes out and gets this Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, and they have the 24?
They have that 12.
All right. Well, I don't drink it.
Okay. So you were talking to him about that, huh?
Yeah. Well, you were whatever it was you were doing.
And yet you were one of the people that wanted me to...
Phil, I don't know. Are you going to start in on me? I'm not married to you. I heard you mentioning something about your ex-wife and what a big, fat, arrogant slob you were.
You did say that, Phil. You did.
Yeah, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, okay, everyone. Thank you. But I was talking about Joseph Plum Martin, okay?
Who's Joseph Plum?
Yeah, I heard that too, Steve. You hear that?
I was in the car. I heard about Joseph Plum.
Joseph Plum Martin, who was a soldier in the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, that's one thing.
Steve heard it.
Good. Thank you, Steve, very much.
Uh-huh.
All right, so...
Well, what about him?
I just got... Never mind. Welcome to our program. Ms. Dooley, how are things?
Well, things are going good, Phil, and I'm sorry, who... I really am interested to know.
He was a Revolutionary War soldier. He wrote a book. I was talking about it. Let's move on to what it was you were discussing this morning with Jay Moore, because I understand that there is a fan base growing for you as a football expert. Is that right?
No, I don't think there's a fan base growing for me as a football expert, Phil. It's just that I represent a rarity. I would say in America, I represent a rarity among women in America, and that is that I know about football. I'm conversant in the intricacies of the game and the different aspects of the game. It's one of those areas that I just happen to be good, unlike most women.
Bobby, this is Margaret. When you say that you are conversant with men on the subject of football, does that mean you can sit in a game and watch what's happening and have a conversation with a man that isn't going to irritate him?
Yes, that's a very good way of putting it, Margaret. Yes, that's pretty much it, because my father, who was in the military, as I mentioned in Phil, my father was in the Air Force, and unfortunately traveled to Orange County to the former Marine Air Base, El Toro, and realized that that was a Marine Air Station, not a United States Air Force base, and that's when he just decided to quit.
Yeah, I got all frustrated and everything.
Okay, Steve, I'll do it. He's my father.
I'm sorry.
Wait. Your father moved to El Toro? That's very interesting.
Well, my father didn't. I mean, the entire family did. We were very young at the time. And that's how we settled in Orange County, California.
Well, was your father stationed? How did he find his way to Orange County?
He was on his way to Beale Air Force Base in Rockland, California.
That's way north of where we are.
Yes, and that was the mistake that my father made. He was assuming he was traveling to the south of the state, and in point of fact, he was going north.
Well, and you're talking about El Toro, Rockland. They don't alphabetically, they don't... How did your father find his way south when he was supposed to be going north?
Well, Margaret, there's an old saying. I think it was from a Laurel and Hardy movie, so it's not an old saying. It's an old bit of dialogue, but I like it as an old saying. Where the judge says to the two of them, Laurel and Hardy, he says, "I want you out of this town, because if you are not out of this town, I'll twist your head so far around that when you're walking north, you'll be looking south."
I heard your voice crack a little bit.
Yeah, Miss Stanley, I was just going to say, I heard her voice crack.
I do. My voice cracks just a little bit when I talk about that, because it feels as if it just happened.
Well, it's a sensory memory, dear. That's what happens when we undergo an emotional strain.
So your dad wound up in, I'll twist your head so far around that you, when you're walking north, you'll be looking south.
Yeah, Mr. That's part of a Hardy and Laurel movie.
A Hardy and Laurel movie. That'll be interesting. Mr. Laurel, wherever he is, and I'm sure he's in a really far better place than here, will be interested to know that he now has second billing to Mr. Hardy. But nonetheless,
what's that mean?
Never mind. It means that he's got second billing, man. Laurel and Hardy? Well, now it's Hardy and Laurel.
Oh.
So, Bobby, tell me a little bit about the fan base that you've been developing has a flip side.
Well, it has a little bit of a flip side, and maybe we can get into it here after your break. I know you're coming up on a break, and we can stop with all of the Bud and the Margaret butting in, you know?
Excuse me, I'm a panelist.
Oh, God, I know you're a panelist, Margaret.
Well, what does that mean? Oh, God.
Well, every time I'm on, excuse me, I'm a panelist.
You don't talk about being on a panel, you know?
We know you're a panelist. My God, you've got me wishing you're on a death panel.
How dare, spoken like a real right-winger neocon, a death panel.
Well, isn't that what Obama wants to do?
All right, I don't want to get into Obama. His name is Obama, by the way.
I said Obama. Did I say that?
I said Obama.
I said Obama, all right? It's close.
That's right. It's close, dear. All it is horseshoes when we're talking about someone's name. Thank you, booby.
Okay, now it's my turn to be pissed.
All right, hold, just everybody. You know she hates that.
Well, then she can call our president by his right name. The very idea.
All right, we're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show talking to Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley about this morning's appearance there on Jay Moore Sports and Bobby's... She's got an erudition, if you will. She's got herself some tuition. She's, in other words, pretty good, man, at analyzing, or the analization, as Jesse the Body Ventura would say, of professional footballs. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. World-famous Phil Henry Show and Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley joining us here. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And we have the Dooleys on to talk about the football season that is coming up, and Bobby Dooley, who has a podcast now, who is now increasingly present on Jay Moore's sports show, who has been increasingly present in print interviews. There's a lot going on with you, Bobby, and I understand that I am, I say I understand that I mean, I should understand. I'm the guy that's, never mind.
Yeah, that's very funny. If I could jump in, Phil.
Go ahead.
That's pretty weird for someone who is involved in a project to say, I understand, I was reading about me.
Yeah, what's that about?
I said it sounded weird. You don't have to... I said that it sounded weird, you know, and it does.
Well, it sounds like maybe you got something, you know, a chromosome gone or something like that.
Yes, you're always talking about missing chromosomes.
Yeah, do you think that's it, Mr. Inner? Probably not.
Yeah, that's it. I'm missing a chromosome. Oh, man. That's because I forgot.
Well, it's a bizarre mistake to make, Phil. Don't make a federal case out of it.
What was that?
Yeah, what is that, Miss Gray? I mean...
You were about to call me Miss Dooley, weren't you? Weren't you?
No.
All right, Mark, don't give him that look, okay? It scares the hell out of everybody, including me.
It's Bobby. It's all right. And I don't want to make a federal case. I did hear what you were saying. And I heard Phil do that. He said, I understand that I'm working. So before the program started, if I could just bring something up, I heard you say during your pre-show on the Phil TV part that you do.
Uh-huh.
You said that you had told your wife before that at lunch this afternoon.
Oh, yeah, this is a good part.
Yeah, this was the good part.
Okay, this was the good part of what?
It was the good part of your preview.
The preview of the Phil TV.
Oh, during our pre-show, okay.
Yeah, you said that you told your wife that during your marriage you were nothing more than a big, fat, arrogant slob. And the reason why, and I thought that was very forthcoming.
I did say that, yeah.
Well, I thought it was very forthcoming because when you say that, it explains why you would spend so much time saying, and I understand that me has a project.
Yeah, because you kind of glowed up.
When you get egotistical, you'll glow up.
Can we, you know, I don't want to use the word glowed up, if you don't mind.
Well, it is true, Phil. When you become egotistical and egocentric, you start saying, oh, yeah, me, me, me. You know, I.
Yeah, and so even if you're talking about, oh, I read about myself in the, oh, I just happened to be glancing in the paper.
All right, what has this got to do with what we're talking? This will be the question that people will know my show by, if they even remember my show 5 years after it goes off the air. But if they do, they will always remember it as the show where Phil kept yelling, what's this got to do with anything?
Phil, it has to do with anything. When you said that Bobby is involved in a lot of projects, and then you segued, and oh, by the way, I'm doing stuff. What's that got to do with anything?
Yeah, what has that got to do with anything?
It is true, Phil.
Because I was going to talk about something. It doesn't matter. It was something that you and I are involved in, Bobby, which we will not talk about.
Oh, that, yeah.
I know about that, too.
All right, take it easy, will you, everybody? Bobby Dooley, Steve Dooley. Bobby, let's get back to your prowess, your ability as a football analyst. I know that you've gotten some good reaction doing sports radio with Jay Moore and others. Now, you've also gotten some negative reaction. You're the president of a homeowners association. You have a lot of contact with others in the homeowners association. Pardon me for puking that up a little bit. I know I just went, you have a lot of contact, and I didn't mean to do that.
Well, you know, Phil, you asked us to point that out, and I was just about to.
No, I caught myself doing it. Tell me about the reaction that you're getting from the homeowners there.
Well, from a lot of the women in the Homeowners Association?
Yeah.
It is an interesting reaction. It isn't one that I thought that I would get. I told a lot of the gals, and we do have our circle of taste. That is an informal interior circle of the larger Homeowners Association. In other words, when you move into Western Estates, you are a member of the Homeowners Association. But if you want daily contact with myself, with Steve, with my friends, those of us who have the inner circle contact and control of Western Estates, you have to qualify for something called the circle of taste. One of those things is a fair amount of knowledge of football because it keeps our men happy. You don't have to be as good as me. I am pretty much as knowledgeable as most men when it comes to football.
Really? Now, you grew up with, you say your father was the one that got you guys, and I say you guys, your whole family, into football. Did he sit with you individually and give you a sort of instruction, or was it just watching the games?
Well, it was just watching the games on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of figuring it out from there. I think much the same way that a young man probably figured the game out. Young men had the extra added opportunity of playing the game. But as a girl, I did what I could, and I really enjoyed it.
So what has the reaction been like?
Well, it's been negative.
I wanted to ask you something, Bobby, and this may be off point. I wanted to ask you about Pop Warner football. I'll save it for later.
Yeah, my boys have played it, Margaret.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that later.
But to answer your point, Phil, the women that I've encountered at Western Estates it's amazing. They're hostile to me. They don't like the fact that I know about football. It irritates them when we have our chili cook-off, which we usually have at the Super Bowl, when the Super Bowl is played. And I am there with the guys. You know, there's a whole group of all these big guys, you know, all the men, all the husbands. And in the middle is little me. I'm very petite. I'm only 5'4", and very light. And when one of the teams scores a touchdown, one of the guys will pick me up in the air. And the guys, we have a good time. I think men are starving for that. I think they're craving it. I think men are... They're good sports. They tell their wives and their girlfriends, it's okay, you know, you can watch the game with me, and I'll explain it to you.
So do you find that there is, because of the way you're saying that, is there a resentment, though, among men that their wives, that their girlfriends, that their women do not appreciate the game of football to the point where they understand it, they're always having to explain it?
Oh, I do, Phil. Yeah, I really do.
And how does that manifest itself?
Well, like I say, if we're watching one of the games, we have regular season games that we'll show in the community center. It could be our chili cook-off. It could be a wine tasting. A lot of things. The guys show a depression. They get dispirited when they see that their women might say something that's not very intelligent. I can give an example if you want.
Go ahead.
Well, we are watching a game. I think one of the common things that women will say is, How much points do you get? How much? They don't even grammatically say it properly, and they sound really ignorant, and they embarrass the men that they're with. So they'll say, oh, after a field goal is kicked, how much points do they get for that? And you see the husbands sort of cast their eyes around as if to say, you know, who heard that? And
mm-hmm. So the men are embarrassed in front of the other men?
I think it's a lot of times the kids are there. I think they're embarrassed for their sons, especially. I've seen young men who may be with the families. They'll hear their mothers say, he made a good run when it was a ridiculously bad. I saw a very famous sack of Tom Brady in one of the, I think it was the St. Louis Ram game. Tom Brady was sacked for a loss, but he had scrambled effectively for a few seconds trying to get out of bounds, and he never did make it out of bounds. And one of the women said, oh, he made a good run, and you just want to, you know, you want to crawl into a hole on behalf of her because she's not even bright enough to know that she needs to crawl into one herself.
Wow, that's some interesting observations. We're talking to Bobby Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association about women. You know, the football season in earnest begins, the regular season in earnest, this coming Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Bobby, you can hear her featured not only on our own show, but she is also on Jay Moore Sports. She has her own podcast, the Bobby Dooley podcast, which this past couple of weeks has involved the interviewing of Henry Rollins, the great iconic rock star and poet and activist. So, Bobby, you're a multi-talented and multifaceted woman in terms of your interests. We are discussing football and the lack of knowledge that the American woman still has. And that's sort of frustrating, too, isn't it?
It's frustrating, Phil, because you hit the nail on the head, I think, in what you were going for there, which is that there certainly have been so many years of opportunity for American women to learn about football. And they have just sat there like bumps on the log, and they still sound each week just as really, forgive me, as stupid as they always do.
All right, Bobby, hang on the line here as we talk here with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association about women in football and how well they and how little they know it and how they are jealous of her because she does know a lot about football and is oftentimes in the middle of a crowd of guys and they're picking her up and throwing her and she's sort of a one of the gang. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show coming back. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 10 o'clock here on the El Pacifico and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Coming up in our next hour, Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County will take on a pretty explosive topic, the use of the N-word in the workplace by black people, by African Americans. Is it a term of endearment? That's an explosive trial that's happening right now in New York, and we're going to talk with Larry about that coming up next hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Right now, Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us from Western Estates in Western Estates, the Western Estates Homeowners Association, Western Estates, California, and we're discussing football and the knowledge that women have of football. And now Ms. Dooley has found herself the recipient of hostile remarks. Bobby, maybe you can tell us in terms of the reaction that other women have had toward you because you know about football.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. The reaction has been predictable. Nonetheless, it's very searing and scarring, I think. And I'm simply saying to other women, this is not the time for us to be turning on those of us who may have the ability to teach other women things that are going to move us along in our relationships with our men. The fact that I know about football and I can talk about it good with other men, and the fact that the men find me, enjoyable to be with, I don't think that's unusual. I don't think women should be threatened by that. And I do feel that they're threatened, you know. A lot of women are women are threatened by me. I think women are threatened for obvious reasons by other women. Because I'm, I don't know, because I may have a certain look. I did some modeling. Maybe they think that I have a model's physique and that I am a danger to their husbands.
Well, you're not, are you? I mean...
No, of course not.
My wife behaves good.
My husband Steve is just backing me up there, but I'll do it, Steve.
You're not a whore.
Please don't use that word.
Oh my God! Did your husband use the word whore?
He did, Steve. That is.
Okay, we're not talking about that. But I think what you're saying is you are very respectable and proper in your behavior.
Absolutely, Phil. And the men react to me with great enjoyment because they say, here is a woman, this is something we don't see a lot, and that is a woman that understands football and isn't just trying to sound knowledgeable. That's one other thing I want to warn the gals about this coming weekend. There's going to be a lot of gals that are going to be watching football, and they're going to try to make the effort at sounding knowledgeable. It's really disastrous. It's been my experience that when women do that...
What are some of the things that women say that give them away sort of as amateurs trying to sound professional?
Well,
Maybe not professional, but knowledgeable.
Yeah, well, one of the things, as I mentioned, Phil, was, oh, that was a good run, even when quite obviously he was scrambling to get out of bounds. Or when they say, I heard Geraldine Griffiths say this, Margaret, you know her.
Yes, I do. Geraldine is, she's always trying to impress... I think I know the time you're talking about.
Yeah.
She was saying, oh, that's a good long ball. Ooh, when there was a deep pass.
Yes, there was a long pass by one of the quarterbacks in one of the games. And I think I told Margaret about it. And Geraldine said, ooh, there's a good long one. Ooh. And I looked at her, and I think I nudged her, and I said, Geraldine, my God. And she said, what? I said, you probably... Really, if I were you, I wouldn't say anything else after that. And she said, well, what are you talking about? I said, you sounded so stupid. And...
Well, she'd start crying.
She started to cry a little bit.
If anybody is eager to sound... I guess it's a matter of being accepted.
Phil, that's it exactly. A lot of gals want to be accepted.
Well, Margaret, I was going to say there was one that you did.
One that I did? I don't go to football events except for the Super Bowl parties that you have. All right. I'll give you that. But I don't think I've ever made a fool of myself. I was just thinking about, and I was pausing because I felt a belch forming in the back of my throat, and I decided that I would hold it back so Phil doesn't get upset. You happy?
My God, she just...
Yeah, I mean, what was that about?
A belch was forming in the back of my... Do you want me to go through it again?
So you withheld a belch?
Yes, Phil's always making a big deal out of it.
All right, thank you very much. So, what happened with Margaret here?
You don't have to talk about... I'm not in the third person.
All right, Margaret. Margaret, you recall at one of the Super Bowl parties when I think it was a handoff or it was a touchdown or something... And you gave the score.
I remember. I gave the score. The halftime score was, I think, 17-7 Baltimore, and I said it was 7-17.
Yeah, and that is the... There's nothing more obvious a gaffe, nothing that marks you as an amateur more, and nothing really that embarrasses your husband, embarrasses your son, embarrasses you in front of other women, and marks you as such a rank... imbecilic amateur as giving the score backwards like that. I felt betrayed.
Why did you feel betrayed? Because you said that to me later.
Because you're one of my inner circle, and for you to say, oh, it's 7-17.
Well, first of all, I did not say it was 7. You know what, out of respect to Phil, we won't argue about this here.
All right, now I appreciate that very much.
Okay, we can talk about it later. But,
I didn't say, ooh. I said, it's 7. I think Frank walked in. He said, what's the score? I said, honey, it's 7-17, the Baltimore Colts. And...
Yeah, and it's the Baltimore Ravens.
I know that.
Yeah, you really carved it up, as Phil likes to say. And in so carving it, I wasn't about to say, oh, yeah, she's a friend of mine. You know?
Well, that's, I thought, the cold shoulder. There's a lot to talk about here, Phil.
All right, that does sound like there's a lot to talk about there. If there was a cold shoulder and that there was some straining of your friendship. Friendship, we're talking to Bobby Dooley, and she's talking with us about her knowledge of football, how it goes far beyond the average woman's knowledge of football. And it tends to show up women at football parties, and it tends to have Bobby be the center of attention among the men. I want to talk to you about the Carolyn, not Carolyn, because I'm thinking of a talk show host I know, Janice Greeley, who is a friend of yours, right?
Yeah, Janice is a very good friend of mine. I don't know which event you're talking to. She has been troublesome at a lot of the football events.
Well, there was one where she went into the crowd of men that were surrounding you.
Yeah, it was her husband, Carl. What happened, Phil, was... we were watching one of the playoff games a couple of years ago, I think, and it was Indianapolis or New England and Indianapolis. I think Tom Brady had completed a short out to the big tight end. I forget the young man's name. It was a short out that he turned up field for. He really broke a few tackles and really muscled his way to a good first down, a quality first down run, and they hadn't been using their short game much. So I made that comment. To Carl Greeley, I said, you know, they really got to start using that short pass to the fullbacks.
See, this is the part that really grates on the other women's nerves. You sound like you think you're so special. You know, oh, the short out.
Well, I'm sorry, Margaret, if I know things that you don't.
It grates on the nerves.
Hold on. I want to hear not specifically about you, Margaret. I want to hear about Carl Greeley. And this is Janice Greeley's husband.
Yeah, his name's Carl Greeley, not Carl Greeley. You just...
I'm sorry, I was out of breath. Carl Greeley.
Yes. So I said, Carl, they're using the short game good. They're using the fullback. I like what they're doing here. I'd like to see Brady play action, but I also want to see him run a draw here. I think the middle is wide open because they're looking for those sideline routes. And Carl, he just spontaneously hugged me and lifted me up in the air, and he said, oh, my God, it's so wonderful to talk to a woman who knows something about football and doesn't sound like a gibber. The word that he used was a gibbering, simian-like imbecile. And it was very cruel because Janice was in earshot. She waited in between the men. She was on the outside of this circle. It was about three deep of men. I was in the middle of it, naturally, because I just had made these series of comments that the men respected. And I hear a woman saying, you know, you're not going to hold me back. You might as well get out of my way, or I'll take your eyes out, too. Something like that.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and it was Janice. I heard a man scream. She had gone for the groin of one of the men. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and when she finally reached me, I had no choice. I had to put her down, and I did with a series of punches, and then I had to hit her with one of the serving trays. A lot of people laugh about that story, Phil.
Why? Why would they laugh about that?
They think it's funny that I hit her, but it was a terrible day. I put her in the hospital. I love her dearly. We're good friends now, but it was a terrible, terrible day, and it started a strain on our friendship.
All right, I got to hear about this, a little bit more about this this fight that took place at a football party, a gathering, a get-together that Bobby and Steve Dooley were having for their homeowners. Ms. Dooley is talking to us about the difficulty of being a knowledgeable woman when it comes to football and how it feels to be that way among women that are jealous of that and women that don't like to hear that and women that are openly hostile to that. And we're going to hear about an encounter she had, a violent encounter she had with a member of her Homeowners Association council. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and philhenryshow.com. World-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this year's show. Along with me, of course, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard. Next hour, we have Larry Grover talking about an explosive trial in New York State having to do with the N-word being used in the workplace by black people, by African Americans, to each other as a term of endearment, or at least that is the argument being made by one of the principals in this case. Very interesting story, and we're going to have, I don't know why we have Larry Grover commenting. It's the only problem I have, bud, you know.
But Mr. Grover is a conservative of Kern County.
What, that has nothing really to do with the...
Trying to get a black man, but they all did not want to comment.
All right, well, we have Ms. Dooley on the line here from the Western States Homeowners Association talking about women and football and how Ms. Dooley's knowledge of the game has caused a rift between herself and other women in their homeowners association. It's caused a rift between herself and other women when they're actually watching one of the games. And I know at the community center you have there, people may not be familiar. Homeowners associations are simply associations of homeowners where you get together and vote, Ms. Dooley, on what is a typical issue.
Well, a typical issue might have to do with the architecture, landscaping, making sure that all of the properties are kept up to a certain standard, making sure that, you know, we have security, that things are going the way other homeowners want them to go, that there isn't a problem. It's just to improve the quality of living for everyone concerned. And then we have our Homeowners Association gatherings, which are strictly social events. We do watch a lot of the football games at the community center, and we will have different events around this. We've had chili cook-offs, we've had wine tastings, we've had barbecues. Our tri-tip barbecue is very popular. We have an oldies dance, you know, where you'll sweat to the oldies. Ooga booga, doo 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 doo. I don't know the name of the song, Steve.
Yeah, the black man. One of the oldies goes to ooga booga.
Yeah, the oldies that you listen to.
I don't know of any oldie that goes ooga booga, but...
Margaret's a singer.
Yeah, Margaret, what is the song that goes booga boo, doo doo doo?
I don't know, dear. That's very vague.
Well, a lot of the oldies. Let's see.
I know when it goes papa oo mow mow, la da boo doo doo.
Do you know when it goes papa oo mow mow?
Yes, the Rivingtons, papa oo mow mow.
No, that's not it, is it?
No, it goes, but it goes pop in my mouth.
What about Surfing Bird by the Trash Men?
What? What kind of retard?
All right, let's watch the retard thing, if you don't mind.
I'm sorry, Phil.
All right, so getting back to what we're talking about, there was a physical confrontation between yourself and Janice Greeley at one of your Homeowners Association events.
That is correct, yes.
All right, at that event, you had made a series of comments that were extremely intelligent. You were talking about it was a New England game, and you were watching Tom Brady working the passes to the sidelines, to his fullbacks, to his tight ends. That was, you felt, clearing out the middle for a draw play. And all of these are terms, ladies and gentlemen, that football fans would know, and you were probably making enemies among the women that were present, correct?
Well, in particular, Janice, when I said, and I think the key line was when I said this would be a perfect time for the offensive coordinator for Brady to audible, to check off on the line and call a draw play. When I said he should check off on the line and...
Now, what does that mean, check off?
That's a guy on a Star Trek.
Ha, 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 isn't that funny?
Mark, what are you laughing at?
No, a lot of people say that, Phil.
We're not talking about him.
It's an audible signal that the quarterback will call on the line. He changes the play.
Right, he changes the play at the line that maybe the offensive coordinator had called.
Yes. And I said to Carl Greeley, Janice's husband, I said, this is a great time for him to check. He ought to check the play off the line and go ahead and run a draw play. And Carl said, it looks like the middle's open. And I said something stupid like, that's what she said. And I think that's what got Janice.
See, right there is probably what pissed Janice off. Excuse my language.
Yeah, I think so. Because that's when I heard her say, get out of my way. I don't care if I've got to carve her eyes out, too. Something like that.
What does that mean?
I don't know, Phil, but it was frightening to hear. And I heard her. I heard a man scream. As it turned out, it was Bill Flemington. She kneed him or something.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So I'm trying to just skip the event. And then she broke through to the inner ring where Carl and I were still embracing and celebrating I don't know what we were celebrating. I think that Carl was just throwing his arms around me and saying, my God, I'm so lonely without a woman who knows about football like you.
Well, that's going to make her angry.
Well, it wasn't sexual, Phil.
Yeah, I can see how Janice might have gotten angry.
Angry to the point where she's threatening me violently?
No, I would say no. That's not an excuse. But you're embracing Carl. You guys are jumping up and down. And Carl is saying what?
Well, he was saying, Phil, that, excuse me, I'm yawning because suddenly I'm just, I don't know why I suddenly got so bored with this. It might have been the sound of Margaret's voice. Forgive me, Margaret, but when I hear women talking football, I start to yawn. I'm so bored.
Well, excuse me, but we're not talking about football now. We're talking about a woman's husband. All right?
Yes, I understand that, but it was not sexual. He was just overjoyed that a woman knew football. So he was hugging me. Janice broke through the ring and said, you get your hands off my husband. And I said, Janice, you know not what you do. And it sounded biblical, and I think that also got her angry. And that's when I hit her with a right hand. It didn't drop her, Phil. She was a tough girl. I thought that it would. I came back with a left.
So you did hit her with did you hit her with an overhand left?
No, it was a jab. But I was going right for the chin, right for that knockout center in the chin. That didn't drop her, and I got scared. And that's when I reached for one of the serving trays, and I hit her across the head with it, both coming from the right side. Then I switched off the hands. I hit her as hard as I could with the tray from the left side. Now I saw the knees buckle, but she grabbed the side of the table. And she never took her eyes off of me. This was the thing that was frightening me, Phil. And you have to understand, I don't know how many fights you've been in. And knock wood, I haven't been in a lot of them. But my father taught me how to fight. He taught me football. And he taught me fighting. I'm sorry, but I'm...
Take your time, darling.
Thank you.
You need... I know it's an emotional memory.
It really is.
You hit her with a right hand, with a left hand.
Yeah, Phil, she hit her with an overhand right, then a left jab. Neither one of them dropped her, right?
That's correct.
And she never took her eyes off of you.
I mean, they staggered her. They stopped her. And I saw her do a wobble, and I thought, all right, she's ready to go. I hit her with the left. It was a left jab. And I mean, it was a bullseye. She was staggered again. It did not drop her. I saw it wobble her. It did not drop her. I grabbed a silver serving tray that Karen Yardell had brought for her baked beans.
Oh, those are, yes, all right.
And I said, God forgive me, Karen, wherever you are. At that time, I had no idea she was in the women's restroom with someone else's husband, but we can talk about that later. I grabbed the tray.
All right, I let's not get into what other women were doing.
Well, okay, unless they were trying to gouge my eyes out, is that what you mean?
No, but Bobby, I don't want to get into who's in what bathroom, please.
All right, fine. I grabbed the serving tray. It had residual bean on it. I'm trying to tell you, the bean dip was dripping off of it. And as hard as I could, I swung it, and I hit Janice full on the side of her head with the serving tray. And I'm telling you, it put a dent in the tray. Again, she staggered. Again, she begins to wobble. Again, her eyes do not leave mine.
That must have frightened you.
Well, I thought I had... I swear to God, I looked at Carl, and at that instant, I said to him, your wife doesn't do dust, does she? Because, and he said, what? I said, is your wife dusted?
You were asking Carl Greeley if she smoked PCP.
Yes, because I didn't know what was going on, Phil. I was frightened to death. I switched off to the left hand. I took the tray. It's still dripping bean dip, and there's bean dip all down.
Take your time, darling.
There's bean dip all down the side of her head. I hit her on the left side of the head with the tray. A full splash of bean dip now embedded on the left side of her head.
What? Did any of that put her down?
No, it did not. And it was at that time that Carl said, you've got my permission. He handed me a fire extinguisher. And God forgive me, but that's what I basically used it as a battering ram against her nose and her forehead. Boom, once, twice, that's what did it.
My God.
That was...
My God, and I'm going to tell you right now, she better not have tried to sue.
No, she did not, because Carl backed me up 100%, and that really teed her off.
Well, Bobby, I wish we could stick around and hear more, and I thank you, Margaret, for giving us a little of the background as well. That was unbelievable, and that's Bobby Dooley talking with us about the competition, the anger, the hostility that she encounters when she, a football fan, sounds off as a football fan at football parties and how other women resent it. That fight between her and Janice Greeley, a serving tray, and finally a fire extinguisher direct to the nose and the bridge of the nose and the forehead of Janice Greeley. Unreal. Coming up next, it's Larry Grover on a trial involving the N-word in New York. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-507-445. Wow. Wow.
I don't know. I was just frightened to death.